This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. It's time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here at Money, Riches, and Wealth. It's Wednesday night again, and I am here with Christopher John O'Shea. Another tax season come to an end.
Put to rest. It is. Put it's another rest. Week. Another year. There's been a few of those.
So,
Andrew, good to be with you. It's
you
a great weather day. Tough traffic coming over, but
you ceded to Thomas during tax season when we got busy because you are an instrumental part of tax preparation in our firm.
The last 3 weeks, I do have to give kudos to Mr. Bombasuto for sitting here.
Right. Well, we have to give kudos to you for the incredible hard work that you put in over the last month to get all those tax returns that we have to do for our clients done.
Yeah, well, thanks. Yeah, and you did that and pulled double duty being here.
We do, what do we do? 800
returns? We did a little under 900 this year, yeah.
Between Gettysburg and Hunt Valley.
It's a little under 900.
Gettysburg does the majority of the returns, but we do, what, almost 270,
almost 300, yeah.
300
you're right.
In
you're,
Hunt
you're,
Valley
yep.
and 600 yep. In Gettysburg.
You got it.
So, but, you know, the reason we do that, Chris, is because there is an incredible synergy between tax preparation and a comprehensive financial advisor. Most people get somebody to just prepare their taxes. And most people just go to a financial advisor that sells them products and so forth. But what you really need is you need that comprehensive look. You need that ability to say comprehensively, this is what's happening in your taxes. This is what's causing your tax liability. And these are the things you need to be doing now for last year's taxes, and this is what you need to be doing and planning for next year's taxes and so forth. So I'm always amazed at how much there is. The tax laws have become so complex that, you know, most people think that, you know, I just go get TurboTax. Yeah, if you make nothing more than a salary, and maybe if your only other thing you're doing is a few itemized deductions, TurboTax probably work very well for you. But you need somebody technically knowledgeable about the situation to say, this is what's going on, this is why it's happening, and this is what you do about it.
Sure. I mean, we just had the other day, neighbor comes over to us and says, I've been retired, I don't know, 5 years, and they've been contributing to an IRA account for the last 5 years.
And TurboTax said, hey, that's fine.
TurboTax didn't say anything about that. So, well, they can't do that. I mean, these are obviously hardworking people. They've saved their pensions, but yet no one told them that you can't do that. So now they have left with, they've got to get excess contributions into the IRA out and, you know, all this, and, you know, it's...
Well, you know, you see all that kind of stuff, you know, all the time. But anyway, let's tell our listeners, tonight we are on an open show.
That's right.
Next week we are going to have a guest, so now's your time to call in and ask your questions that you might have, because you get to direct the conversation. And if you don't call in to direct the conversation, Chris and I will just have to blabber between each other and discuss whatever it is we choose to discuss. But if you want to control the conversation and hear a topic that's near and dear to your heart, then you call in 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and ask those kind of questions that are directly related to you. And last week, Tom and I, we went off on that little Social Security thing that's coming to an end next week, April 29th, at the end of that Social Security. If you're turning 66 this year, and you've not claimed Social Security, you've only got 1 week left to make a decision on that file and suspend concept that gives you the maximum benefit possible. And I read an article that's interesting. I thought you had to be 66 before April 29th, but somebody made the comment that, you know, looking at the law, you could turn 66 in June or July and still be able to file and suspend and get the benefits out of it because you can...
Because of the process.
Because of the process and how it works and so forth. So anyway, if you want to call...
Well, just the whole subject. And again, 922-6680 is the number. Jump on. Looks like all the lines are open. Actually, it looks like there's one or two calling in. But there's a very small percent of the population waits and to maximize Social Security.
Yeah.
You're waiting to age 70. It's 4 to 6%.
Right.
So
it's crazy.
We think there's more out there that should at least consider it.
Yeah. We're going to go to Chris in Lithicum. Chris, how can we help you?
Hey, Drew. Thanks for taking the call. So I'm a business owner, and, you know, I have a tax accountant. They do my corporate tax returns. They do personal tax returns for my family and my two dependents. And, you know, I'm curious. They, you know, I don't interact with them much throughout the year. And, I look over my corporate tax returns pretty well. And when I get my personal tax returns back, you know, I'm always on the onus to, you know, have to sign that agreement letter with them. And I have to look it over. And, you know, I always find things that they miss. Like, you know, they didn't take off my health savings account deductions. You know, they forgot that. And, you know, how can you ensure that?
What we do, Chris, is we try to work the tax return collaboratively in person with the client. As many clients are willing to do that with us, or over the phone. I do that. Like, I do tax returns for clients in California and Indiana and so forth. And I was on the phone with them for a good hour and a half, and saying, you know, do we got this? Do we got that? You know, here, look at this, because we're doing it on a video conferencing where they can see the files on my computer and so forth. That's the way I recommend everyone do their tax return collaboratively. But most tax preparers don't want to do that with people because they got to get hundreds and hundreds of returns in and out the door.
Tony, what's your last name again?
That's what I would suggest you do.
What is it?
Somebody who will sit down with you.
Thornton. Oh, that's right. Okay.
And maybe they'll get the return done first, and then they'll sit down with you together and say, okay, let's look at this together now and get this, you know, and so forth. Because here's the point, Chris. When a preparer is doing,
trying to get him to go to the break,
themselves, they have the technical knowledge, but they don't have the personal knowledge, okay? When Chris is doing the return himself, he's got the personal knowledge, but he doesn't have the technical knowledge, you know?
Right.
But when you sit down together, you're bringing those two together, and that's where you get your synergy. And let me tell you one more thing, because I got to run for traffic, is that if you have a business, there is no way you're taking advantage of all the opportunities you have in that business unless you get somebody who can help you really sit down and look at your personal and business together and coordinate the two and say, these are the things you need to be bringing into that business to take advantage of this to the maximum extent possible. So make sure you're doing that.
All right. Sounds like I should call you next week when I'm back from travel.
Well, you know, whatever. You know, just need somebody who's independent, fee-only, and comprehensive to look at that situation with you, okay? All right, buddy.
Perfect.
Take care. We got to go to traffic. We'll be right back.
Do you have a financial planner? Have you ever thought of hiring one? Or just need a second opinion? The satisfaction guaranteed service of the financial physical is designed with you in mind. Many listeners, just like you, come to me, Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate, looking for a firm that is fee-only and can offer comprehensive financial planning. The Financial Consulate has not grown by selling insurance, annuities, and bank products. Instead, we pride ourselves on the wealth of knowledge we can provide to you and your family. Learn more about the Financial Consulate and the services that we can provide at DrewTig.com. That's DrewTig.com. Or call to schedule a no-obligation introductory meeting at 410-823-SAVE. That's 410-823-SAVE.
Back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
There's that Noah. Very creative, you know.
Where have you been, Noah?
Where you been all of our lives, Noah? Anyway, we're going to go to our callers. We're going to Debbie in Westminster. Debbie, how can we help you? Debbie, are you still there?
She may not be there. I tried checking.
She's not. So we're going to Bert in Westminster.
Yeah, good evening, Drew. How are you?
Good, and you?
Good, thanks. My question has to do with sales tax deduction. I just got my returns back and, you know, reviewed them, and when I submitted all my information, one of the things that I've been asked is submit any receipts or deductions that you had from large purchases, that type of thing. And so we had several hundred dollars worth of stuff because we, you know, did some refinishing and remodeling, that kind of thing. So when I looked at the return, I was surprised, I guess, a little disappointed to see that that in the deduction choice, it was either you can put in for the state tax that was deducted or the sales tax, but not both. And I just wanted to clarify, is that the case? Or because in old days, I thought you were able to deduct for the sales tax for purchases.
There was a time years and years ago. Gosh, that had to be 30 years ago.
And you couldn't.
Yeah.
Now you can, maybe.
Well, yeah. It used to be 30 years ago that if you had a big sales tax, you could add that in addition to your income tax deduction, like the purchase of an automobile or a boat or something of that sort. But they did away with that, if I'm not mistaken, back in the 80s.
Late 80s.
And then they came, it was gone. You couldn't do any sales tax at all. But then the states that didn't have an income tax said, hey, wait, this isn't fair. We should be able to get some kind of tax deduction also. So they said, okay, we're going to let you do either the sales tax or the income tax, whichever is larger. And you can either calculate your sales tax by actual sales tax expenditures, or you can use a percentage of your income based on the state you live in with the average sales tax rate. So they have a formula they use, plus any large purchases you made. So what your accountant did, Bert, is he calculated your income taxes and said, okay, your deduction is $3,000, let's say. And then he took your average sales tax plus the major purchases you did, added them together, and he said, well, that's $2,200, so you get the income tax deduction, and that's it.
Okay, so I just wanted to make sure that was correct, because that's exactly what he did. And like I said, I was thinking, well, why go through all of this hassle now, knowing that in reality,
in a state like Maryland, Bert, unless you buy a super yacht for $1 million, you're unlikely to ever going to be taking the sales tax deduction until you're maybe a senior and if your only income is like Social Security or something, you may not have any income tax deductions, and therefore your sales tax is going to be the logical deduction. Or if you're smart and move to somewhere like Florida after you retire, because Maryland is an awful state to retire in. And I hate to say that,
sure.
It just really upsets me to say that.
Maybe by then things will change.
But maybe someday these people...
The General Assembly hasn't changed yet. And
well, they did get smart enough to at least change the estate tax law.
Yeah.
I mean, they were at least came to that kind of logical assumption. Though they told us many times the estate tax has nothing to do with people leaving the state, but we'll change it anyway, just in case.
Not everything's permanent, though. Not everything's permanent.
That's true. Not everything's permanent. Anyway, Bert, I hope that answers your question.
It did. Thanks, sir. Have a great
day. Buddy. Take care.
Sorry, Bert, we're editorializing there at the end of your answer.
So we have 4 or 5 minutes. Nobody's online. We're on an open show, 410-922-6680. You get to direct the conversation of the show. If you want to call in and have that conversation directed, 410-922-6680 is the way to call in and ask that question. And ask your question. You know, one of the things that I experienced that, most people don't understand is how to take advantage of the American Opportunity Credit. Chris?
Sure.
You got $2,500 free dollars the federal government's going to give you if your children go to college and spend $5,000 on tuition, okay? That's number one. But number two, it's not for the bloody, filthy rich people who make over a whopping $160,000. It's only for people who make under $160,000. Well, you might think, well, I make more than $160,000, so that's it, I'm out. Well, that's not necessarily true. You just have to know how the game's played.
Right.
And you need to know, if you're close, you need to know how to get your income down below that $160,000, which we do quite often. Or you have to figure out how to get your child to use the credit, because they're the other person that has the right to use the credit. So anyway, let's go to Faith in Annapolis. Faith, how can we help you?
Hi. I was wondering, I've read online that it's possible to be both a W-2 employee and a 1099 employee, as long as the duties are definitely separate.
It's much more difficult in today's world, But theoretically, I would say that is true. There are certain situations that could allow that, but I would doubt seriously there's any employer that you're working with that would be able to, if scrutinized by the IRS, stand up to that standard.
But isn't there a form, an S something or other form that you turn in that kind of gives the IRS a heads up that you have an employee doing these two different things?
I know that there is something you can do, but is this your company or is this a company you work for that's trying to do this with you?
The company that I work for, I'm a full-time W-2 employee, and then I'm performing other services for them at home on my own time that's not related to my regular full-time job.
And if that's true, and you're totally independent at doing that, and you do it for other people, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts, if you choose to do the exact same thing for other companies, you're absolutely right. They could get away with that. And that would be perfectly legitimate and legal. You rarely see it, though.
SS8?
Yeah, that's right. I did that with one client not about 3 years ago, but you don't see it very often. So it is possible, Faith.
Okay.
But your statement was absolutely correct. They have to be totally unrelated to what you're doing as an employee. You have to be totally independent and not bound to the company solely to do that practice with them.
Uh-huh.
And if all that is true, then I would say you're absolutely right. That can happen. Now, keep in mind, though, Faith, that sometimes being a 1099 employee, if you're not making a lot of money at that second thing, you may not like the outcome that you experience.
Because of the taxes.
Because of the self-employment taxes, the SE taxes. That's 15.3% possibly up to...
Tony, you were asking me a question... After your report at the top of the hour, and I said 1 second, what was that?
Around 50.
Yeah, so your 1099 money is going to get taxed right away by Social Security and Medicare 15.3%, and then you owe income taxes to Maryland and the federal government. In your tax bracket, you're going to probably lose something in the neighborhood of 40% of that money. As a 1099 employee, you're going to have to think out wisely how to make sure you get that down as much as possible legally and legitimately.
Sure. Yeah.
All right?
Okay.
All right. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyway, we got to go to our... Hey, Noah, I didn't say I was going to a traffic break yet. All right, go ahead.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And well, there's a good song.
And we're
it's a throwback. It's a golden oldie.
And we're back with Money, Riches, and Wealth, and we're on an open show. And if you want to call in and direct the conversation, feel free, 410-922-6680. We have some callers on the line. We're going to Stan in Northwest Baltimore. Stan, how can we help you?
Hi, good evening. I apologize, this is repetitive, because I came in just as you said, something about being able to still file for the file and suspend under Social Security.
Right, right. That's up until next week. So how old are you, Stan?
Well, I am going to turn 70 this year, but I retired several years ago. I was a federal employee. My wife was a federal employee and did work partially under the new system, under the...
FERS.
Under FERS. And she retired the first workday in this year, so I think it was January 2nd or 3rd, whatever that Monday was.
Right.
Now, does that mean she could still file? She is 60.
So let me ask you a quick question. How old is she?
Let's see, what year is this? This is she was born in 52, so that would make her 64, I guess.
64.
She'll be 64 this year. She's 64.
You were under the CSRS pension, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. So, first off, she can't file and suspend because she has to be full retirement age, which for her would be 66 before let's just assume before the end of August of 2016. If she doesn't meet that criteria, she cannot file and suspend. And since you're CSRS, she can't even, you know, because she was over 62 on December 31st, 2015, she can't even go in and collect spousal benefits under you because you're not under Social Security at all. So
right.
I'm not sure there's any substantial benefit for her in filing and suspending. She can't really do it. It's not going to help her a lot. She can't.
Well, the question would have been whether I could have collected spousal under hers, but I remember now that was the problem, that she was not yet.
You cannot collect spousal under her, even if she could file and suspend, because they would have wept you out
right.
because of your CSRS pension. In other words, they would have windfall elimination you out of the equation. So
I think it's not going to work for you,
my friend. Yeah. But it's a good question. I'm glad you asked.
Thank you so much.
All right, buddy. Take care. Sandra in Columbia, how can we help you?
Hi, yes. I have a question about the Social Security file and suspend, too.
Uh-huh.
My husband will be, we're still working full-time, and he's going to be 66 in July.
Okay.
Can he do the file and suspend?
According to a person that I read, uh-huh. he says that the law, here's what the law says.
Okay.
The law says this, that you have to apply and file and suspend before April 29th.
Okay.
Anybody is allowed to file for Social Security within 4 months of their full retirement age. Well, if he turns 66 in July,
right.
April, then you got May, June, July, that's only 3 months. So he would be well within the 4 months that he'd be able to file and suspend now on his application, even though he doesn't turn his full retirement age in July. And according to this person's opinion, they think that it counts, and there's nothing to say, according to the Social Security people, that there's a disagreement with them. So, worst case scenario, it really doesn't hurt him at all to go ahead and do
right.
it. So I would strongly encourage him to do it, file
okay.
and suspend online, and that application online's a little tricky. But you can get through it, or you can go in person if you want to waste some time.
Yeah. So, well, could I, I'm only 61, I'll be 62 in September, could I get spousal benefits from...
Well, here's the problem, and that is that you were not 62 on December 31st, 2015.
Right.
So you're not going to be able to do what this whole strategy is about, which is when you turn your full retirement age, that you would have been able to go in, take your spousal benefits, let your own benefit grow to age 70, since you're younger than that, but there's still a reason why he'd want to do this, and that is that he could go back and take a lump sum benefit
right.
if, God forbid, in the next 4 or 5 years he would be diagnosed with like a terminal situation,
mm-hmm.
and you guys decide that economically it's best to just go back and get the lump sum.
Yeah, or you just decide in 3 years, hey, we changed our mind.
Yeah, you change your mind, whatever, you know, so that's why he would still be beneficial to go ahead and do it, and there would be no detriment to him for doing that.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. I appreciate your help.
All right, Sandra, you take care. And we're going to, what's that say? Lou in Roland Park. Lou.
Hey, gentlemen, how are you?
We're
great,
fine.
Thanks.
And you?
Good. I'm okay.
Good.
I caught the tail end of what you were saying about Maryland and the estate tax. And I wanted to get your opinion as to whether or not you think that, given that we have Governor Hogan now, there'll be any impetus to make taxes a little bit better for retirees in the state of Maryland in the foreseeable future.
Well, you still got the Mickey twins in office, though, don't you? You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know, so I think Hogan wants to do a lot of things.
Sure.
And I think he's already done some things.
These
guys are sitting back, and it's just like when Ehrlich was in office. They're sitting back, they're doing a couple little things, and hoping that a couple years from now, the Maryland Democrats will rise up again and put them in a new Democrat, and then they're back in business again. You know, you want to talk about the establishment. There's nothing more establishment than the political establishment in the House of State of Maryland. right, in my right. opinion.
And well, I looked at the Kiplinger. I've seen the Kiplinger map for where places where to retire to, and you know, to Maryland's credit, I think it's like a neutral. But of course, you have all those states in the South where you know they have the dark green.
Well, let me, yeah, but let me tell you something, Lou. I look at these things, the best states to retire from, best tax states to retire in, and, you know, and the worst states to retire in tax-wise, and I'm looking at how these journalists have done it, and I'm sitting there thinking, well, wait a minute. I know this state, and this is a good state to retire in. You got it in the number 9 or 8 spot as the worst one to retire in, and that's because of the way they're thinking about things. And when you think about it from the way I would think about it, I'd put Maryland in the top 5 of the worst states in the country to retire in from a tax point of view. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. Sure. We have an inheritance tax. We have an estate tax. We have
That's only one of 8? That have both?
Only 2 have both.
I'm sorry,
Chris.
2.
Jersey and Maryland.
Jersey and Maryland, right.
Yeah. We have a sales tax, one of the highest sales. We have high property taxes. We have high gas taxes. We have high income taxes.
Our income tax with the piggyback is higher than New York.
Maryland is one of the only states that they will give you the Social Security and they'll give you a pension exclusion. But who the heck has a pension anymore other than the people they're pandering to, which is government employees? That's what this state panders to. And so they're the people that benefit the most in living in this state. So anyway.
So the best thing we do is you hope that...
You get rid of the Mickey
quiz. Well, you turn out. It's good for anyone. I don't care if any party that's in power for as long as they've had control of the General Assembly, turn them out.
That's right.
Turn them out.
That's it. That's it. Anyway, Lou, how's that?
Thanks, guys.
All right, take care. Going to Mike. What's that, Chris?
You got to clear the back alleys, you know. You just got to clear them out, get the new ones in there, start afresh.
Mike in Columbia, how can we help you?
Hey, how are you?
Fine, and you?
I'm doing super fine. The problem is my son, I wound up having a long-term disability.
Okay. Sorry to hear that.
And so the day came when I went to court to get arrangements made for what am I going to do with my Social Security money and what I'm going to do with my retirement money that I get from GE.
So you're saying that you went to guardianship and somebody's overseeing your money for you?
That's true.
Okay.
That's what I did.
Okay.
And I felt as though the attorney was a crooked attorney.
Okay.
And my son he's the most untrustworthy person I've ever seen.
So, but the court gave them your guardianship?
He gave it, according to my sisters, who were there at the hearing.
You had to be at the hearing too, my friend. They couldn't do that.
I was at the hearing, but you can't hear anything at this place in Prince George's County Courthouse.
Okay.
I was there now. Right as far as.
Okay, cool.
Right now, I got railroaded by a crooked attorney and my untrustworthy son.
Well, you would have to hire an attorney to go back to court and say this was a bad decision on my part. That's the only way you can get out of it now, unfortunately.
Okay.
All right. Sorry to hear that, Mike. We got to go to traffic. We're going to be back with an open show. 410-922-6680. Take it away, traffic.
Do you have a financial planner? Have you ever thought of hiring one or just need a second opinion? The satisfaction guaranteed service of the financial physical is designed with you in mind. Many listeners, just like you, come to me, Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate, looking for a firm that is fee-only and can offer comprehensive financial planning. The Financial Consulate has not grown by selling insurance, annuities, and bank products. Instead, we pride ourselves on the wealth of knowledge we can provide to you and your family. Learn more about the Financial Consulate and the services that we can provide at drewtigg.com. That's drewtigg.com. or call to schedule a no obligation introductory meeting at 410-823-SAVE. That's 410-823-SAVE.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth, and we're on an open show. You can call in. We still have time to probably take about two or three more callers. I do have one caller online, so there's plenty of time and opportunity. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and ask your question. We're going on to, what's that, Antoine? Antoinette. Way to go, Noah. You spelt that incredibly well. Antoinette, how can we help you?
Hi. I have listened to your show for many years, and my sister works for the federal government, and she's worked for them for about 36 years or more. And she'll be turning 62 years old in August. And
okay.
She just doesn't know which way to go as far as kind of fill out the paperwork, you know, that the federal government, in order to find out what she's going to get and what she should do to make, and I was wondering how your company could help her.
Well, we work and we do what we call the retirement financial physical with people like your sister. So we sit down with her for 2 to 3 hours on the first appointment, and we look at everything. We look at all the company benefits that they're offering her and all the decisions she has to make, and we help her make those decisions. But we also look at her income taxes and her estate planning and her insurances and her investments and her goals and objectives, her balance sheet, her cash flow. We're going over everything and making sure that she's in the best place possible. That's how we operate. If she wants to do an intro, which is no obligation, no cost, we can explain it to her in more detail. Is she in the old pension system or the new FERS?
Well, like I said, she's worked for the government for
She was in that right in that period of time where they switched from CSRS to FERS.
Right, but in the beginning when she first started working, she was in the old system where, you know, she wasn't paying into Social Security.
Right, but did she switch then to the new FERS system, or did she stay in the old system?
No, she took a leave of absence, and when she went back, she had to go.
She had to go first. Right. So she could be bifurcated, actually. She could have a little bit of both. That would be
interesting. That's my understanding, yeah.
Yeah, that's an interesting situation. A bifurcated federal employee, they have a little bit of both.
Right.
So, yeah, but, you know, that's how we would operate, Antoinette.
So in order to get this process started, she would call your company?
Yeah, she would just call and set up an appointment. We'd send her a little 3-page questionnaire and with a checklist of what documents to bring, and then we would help her do her financial physical, retirement financial physical, and set her in the right motion to make sure she's got all her bases covered.
Okay.
One other thing about that is we absolutely guarantee it. So anybody comes to do a financial physical with us, we go through the whole process. First appointment, give them all our recommendations. Second appointment, give them all our recommendations, all written out, all the spreadsheets, everything. And they get to go home, and only then when they go home do they have to decide whether they felt that we did the job they were looking for us to do. We do that to make sure that our clients know that come to work with us for the first time that they're absolutely assured that we will give them what they need to accomplish their goals and objectives, and there's no obligation on their part until they feel we've done that.
Oh, okay. So, but fees are discussed, aren't they? I mean,
oh, yeah. Our fee is anywhere from a flat $750 to a flat $1,500, and it just depends on the person and what they need to accomplish and so forth. So we would discuss that in the introductory meeting, and then if they decide to come and do the physical, we'll explain, in advance what the fees are if they choose to, that we did the job for them. Okay?
Okay. What's your number that can be?
The easiest way to remember our number is 410-823-SAVE, S-A-V-E. That's 7283, S-A-V-E.
Well, thank you very much. Would So you have a team. She wouldn't be speaking to you directly?
No, I do all the financial physicals with our clients, and then the team, Chris and Tom,
right.
Or Graham or
Chuck
or Roger,
Sue.
You know, yeah. We have 22 people, but we always work as a team. So there's always two or three of us. But I do all the financial physicals and, you know, the first and second meeting. And then they take it from there.
Okay.
All right.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you, Antoinette. Take care. Chris in Timonium, how can we help you?
Yes. Enjoy your show. Thank you very much. My question is, I still have another 10 years to be in full retirement age, which would be 67 for Social Security. But my question is, my spouse, my wife, has not been, she's been a homemaker and raising our kids. So what is the, when can she claim spousal benefits? Do I have to be full retirement age for her to do that? And does she have to be at her full retirement age to do that as well?
Well, the way it works, Chris, is when you turn 62, you can claim your benefit. Now, if you do, because that's 5 years before your full retirement age, it's going to be substantially discounted, but you can claim. The minute you claim, and then your wife turns 62 or older, she then can immediately claim. So let's say your wife is 1 year older than you. You go in at 62 and claim. You take the big discount. Your wife can then go in at 63 and say, okay, give me a benefit of his benefit. But her spousal benefit will be half of your full retirement benefit minus the discounts for how many years she is under her full retirement age when she goes in and claims. As a spousal benefit. So that's how it works. So, of course, if she was 60 and you're 62, she'd have to wait two more years to go back in at 62 and she'd get the discount. So that's how it works.
Yeah, great. You've answered my question. The magic number is really 62 for both.
62, but I would encourage you, Chris, you and your wife, to wait as long as possible.
Understand. I appreciate it. Yes.
All right, buddy.
Yes,
take care.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Well, we're out of callers right now, Chris, so I guess we'll just sit here in silence.
When have we sat together at any time? Well, there are times. It'd be silent, but that's not usually the case. We find something to talk about.
We could talk about Noah. he's here.
I thought we did that. We missed Noah.
We do that when he's not here. Why don't we do it while he's here?
We missed Noah. I think, is he talking to a caller? No.
I don't know. I think he's talking on his own cell phone. He's doing personal business during work, you know? Anyway.
The one thing you were talking about, someone's called in there. Yeah. You're talking about if someone looks to work with us with their business, though, and has us look at their business, it's more involved.
Yeah, that's
the financial physical.
The financial physical is more involved, but that's where you really can really
make
do incredible
money.
Things, you know, because most people don't know what you can do with a business, you know? We're
sure.
going to go to this last, see if we can get them in. Valentine.
Okay, real quick question for you guys. My wife is a teacher in a private school.
Okay.
She has a 403B.
Yep.
She left one school and went to another with another
right.
403B.
Right.
The first place, she only has like a year's worth in there, and it's like $2,000. But
just roll it over to the other company.
It's a different company, but a 403.
She can still roll it over to the new company.
Okay, because they're telling me they won't. The policyholder won't allow them to do that.
Well, there are some weird, unique 403Bs. But there's really, I'd have to see it to understand. Why are they saying they can't do that?
They're saying that the employer does not allow people to do that if you're not vested.
Well, but a 403B, if she put the money in, she's vested immediately.
Right,
if the employer put the money in
matching,
and
yeah.
she's not vested, then they're absolutely right. It's not her money because she didn't stay there long enough.
So what happens to it?
The employer gets it back, and they can use it for the other employees that stayed there.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Noah, what are you doing? Hey, Valentine, will you scream at Noah for me, please?
Don't do that, Noah.
I'm just going to wave my arms at him.
Yes, that's how it works there, Valentine.
Thank you.
All right, buddy, you take care. So that was an interesting question, because you don't hear many times about a 403B where the employer is contributing the money.
Right.
You know?
Sure.
So, but that's an interesting one.
And you got like medical on people. You're talking about bifurcation. And
yeah. Oh, we got all kinds of fancy words in this show, man. Well, anyway, Chris, this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.